This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and Paul Dano collects teeth.
I'm Brandi Posey, and my highway slammed the door in my face and yelled, "You're not my real dad again." I really shouldn't have adopted him.
Wait, what?
Adopt a highway.
Oh, my God.
I got it. Okay, I got it. Nice. Take it.
Okay.
Take my punch.
No, that's funny.
Thank you, Barbara. Tess, go ahead.
I'm Tess Barker, and getting paid to sleep would be a real dream job.
Yes, hey, it would.
Yay. This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies. Ladies
and ladies. Sploosh! Hi!
Barbara just came down a slide into the podcast.
I came on a slide, down a slide, into... Ew, gross. What am I saying?
What are you... How are you opening up this way? What, this is not...
Why not? What the
name? Speaking of slides, there's a...
I don't have that kind of segue.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. What do you guys think about
fourth voice of the mic, Michelle Ballou, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Let's get Michelle.
Fifth-year anniversary
five-year anniversary.
Lady to Lady. She's
the
back.
The universe drew me here. It knew.
Exactly.
It said, it's been 5 years. It's been long enough.
Yeah.
Your ancestral spirits guided you here.
My ancestral spirits.
Yes.
She's going to need to be here.
A second.
She's going to need to be here with this hot slide talk.
Yeah.
It's not that hot.
Okay. Now there's a lot of build-up.
I know. It was already such a dumb thing, and now it's all thing. Okay, so we have at our Target, there's a pumpkin patch in our Target parking lot.
Oh, I like the Target because we all have that.
Yeah.
So nearby, we've got a pumpkin patch in our Target, which is obviously hilarious because it's a pumpkin patch in a parking lot. But
This is separate from the meth head pumpkin patch.
Sean and I go to the meth head pumpkin patch, but if you prefer, you can go to the Target pumpkin patch. So that pumpkin patch, the Target one, has these like giant inflatable slides. Mm-hmm. And I was running my errands at Target the other day, and I got out and I wanted to go on that slide so bad, and I stood in line. And I
love this story. I just think I would. I love it.
Wait, we don't know though. We don't know the end.
Okay.
Well, I had a moment where it was just me and a bunch of kids, and I realized that it would be inappropriate for me to go down the slide, so I boned out.
How is that inappropriate?
You should have. I don't know. I just felt weird. It was like that. But like, what's wrong with me?
But you
like,
stood in line for the slide.
I stood in line for the fucking slide.
I love it.
I think the only thing that's wrong with you is that you didn't go down the slide.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should have committed to the bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't think it's weird?
If you're a parent,
you don't think it's weird to see an adult waiting.
I would find it so incredibly endearing.
Okay.
I would.
Cool.
I would. Because, like, yeah, it would. Yeah.
I go down those big slides at the fair and
I
stuff.
I love a slide.
Right?
Yeah. Who doesn't love a slide? I mean, I'm just tired of being an adult and not getting to do kid stuff. Like, this happens to me all the time. We got an ad for a space camp, and I was like, fuck yeah. Oh, it's for kids.
No. Like, for a second, you really thought that maybe it was for you? Yeah.
Adult space camp would rule. They should definitely have
that. That probably exists.
They have. Yeah. I know they have like adult. I read like there was like an adult camp, like an overnight, like a sleepaway camp someone's doing.
Yeah. It is hard because like they do run that risk of being too like twee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, like I don't want kickball shit.
Totally.
Is
it feels manufactured. Like I want the slide in the Target parking lot. I don't want to go pay $800 to go camp in Catalina with a bunch of hipsters.
Yeah. Sometimes comedy festivals are like camp. When they're done well, it's so fun.
Yeah, when you're all saying goodbye, like you all bonded. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a good flight. I'll see you in LA.
Oh, yeah. We never get to do this much fun stuff.
Oh, can I get a, I want to do a quick shout out to a listener named Blair who came to see me at Fest in Gainesville this last weekend. She's from Daytona Beach. She drove to Gainesville, Florida. And when she left, she found a puppy on the side of the road. And she took it home because she's wanted a dog since her last dog died in 2014.
Oh.
And she named it after me.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Now that's a story.
Yes. Great.
That's like if the slide story ended up with you going on the slide. That's how good that story
was. Now I feel even worse. That could have been a puppy moment.
Hey, it's still there. We can go together.
Let's go to the slide.
Yeah.
Let's go to the slide after this.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Well, that's a good story.
Slide's going to be there.
I don't know if I'm doing the slide, but I do appreciate it.
You can wave to us and take our picture.
Can you be our mom that takes us to be in line?
I might be able
to take
you on the slide.
That sounds good. Anyway, shout out to Brando the dog. Brando's really, really
cute. That is so sweet.
She sent me a message and I almost started weeping at Bad Cop. I was like, oh, there's a dog named after me.
That's amazing.
If you've done anything good in your life, it's all worth that moment.
Truly.
For sure. For sure.
That is so happy for you. I'm so happy for her. I'm so happy for Brando.
I know. Such a cute dog.
I know. He's really cute.
He's really cute.
I'll post a picture of him on Instagram as long as Blair says it's okay.
Like it's a kid.
Yeah. I just gotta check. I just want to make sure we have Brando's consent.
I don't want any creeps getting pictures of my dog.
Oh, why'd I get reported? You posted that naked dog. Wait a second.
There's a lot of...
You're right, we are too PC.
Why do we need to see dog nipples all the time?
Yeah.
We can't see women's nipples.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Especially dogs who've had kids and their nipples.
Yeah, they got some big nipples.
Yeah. It's all over the place. If women had six nipples, I think then...
Yeah, you're right. That's the difference. We need more nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's just like the norm.
They'll just expect us to suckle more beings, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that woman's suckling a being in public.
Too many beings on one person.
Sexual.
As someone who suckled a being, that sounds like a nightmare. Oh my God.
Is breastfeeding hurt?
You can tell Tess doesn't want kids
because I talk about suckling beings.
Yeah.
It does hurt, right?
Does it hurt?
It takes a little bit of getting used to, and it's just, you know, it's uncomfortable. But what does hurt, Tenny at like 10 months bit me.
Oh.
And then I read online that sometimes it's because a lot of times when you're doing it, you just watch TV or whatever.
Yeah.
It's because you're not paying attention to them.
No,
okay.
Those little brats.
Yeah. And so then I stopped watching stuff and I started staring into her eyes like I loved her. And, and then so she was good for a while, and then like a month later she bit me again. I'm like, well, this time you did it and you knew you did it.
Yeah.
So off of this, and then that's when I stopped breastfeeding.
So it was closing
time. Yeah, I was done.
You're cut off.
But that hurts. As you can imagine.
I'm sure.
Yes, imagine it. Yes. Randy just grasped her nipple. It hurts.
Yeah.
So mothers everywhere are just getting their nipples bit?
Not all of them, but lots of them.
Ouch.
Yeah. Oof. It hurt. And some people, like, I think, I don't know. I don't know what other people do, but I did it long enough. She did her time.
I don't know. I have some friends that are like, their kid, like, literally they're like tying their own shoes and they're like, milk? And they go, No.
My cousin, like, she has, he's at least probably three. Mm-hmm. And we were just there this summer and, same thing. Yeah, and
you
he was like,
ask for it.
He was, and it's maybe it's like just a snack, like a sort of like instead of like a.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like a Go-Gurt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like an what's that orange drink that kids have after they get done playing soccer?
Sunny D.
Sunny D. Instead of Sunny D, it's a Sunny B.
A Sunny Booby.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And I like find it like, and she almost seemed embarrassed too, even though I know she wasn't because she has two other kids. She did, but like that because she was like, no, not right now, and I was like, oh my God,
mommy's talking and having. Conversation.
I think that's one of the areas that I can like recognize myself being a little judgy, actually. I think I'm like open-minded about pretty much everything, but like that, I'm just like, for no other reason really than like it just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Here's the thing is people can like, I'm judgy as having been a person who breastfed. I'm judgy in the sense that I just cannot, I personally don't see it being this amazing thing that you're doing.
Right.
I
mean,
this sounds terrible and I'm about to get a whole bunch of fucking letters written out. That's how angry people are going to be. But I just don't, but it's just like lots of things. People that go on certain kind of diets, people that fucking do certain kinds of yoga or whatever. It's like you feel that it's this thing. And there's benefits and it's not bad.
For sure.
But I just totally, when I look at it, I'm like, oh, well, I don't think that you're doing as much as you think you are. And yeah. I don't think you necessarily need to do it, but go ahead.
Yeah,
you
know?
Yeah. Oh, so it's kind of like gluten-free kind of thing. Like,
exactly, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, it's, but not, I just know. Can't comprehend yeah. how yeah. doing it past a certain age is not fucking up the skin.
Yeah, I think 100%. I just yeah. think, yeah. It, for me, it was not a thought in my head. I totally wanted to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. Like, some people don't even get to that point. You know, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not going to breastfeed. And I loved it. But yeah, I was just like, fuck this. I mean, I planned yeah, yeah. to go to a year. So uh-huh. I made it to 11 months.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. I had one of my best friends, one of my bridesmaids. This is how awesome she is. She weaned her kid the day before my bachelorette party.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Is that not a great coming out party?
Wow. Yeah.
That's how you become a bridesmaid. That's
the level of commitment I expected from my bridal party.
Oh, yeah. Damn. That rules.
God.
Which
that
we
was hard
went
to balance,
went, we went to Magic Mike. Yes. We went to Magic Mike mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
yeah,
was
yeah.
just took Michelle, remembering
yeah.
that.
Hell yeah.
We've been, I guess, twice since then.
Oh,
no, that was our first time. No, that was the second
time.
Oh,
yeah.
Second
that's why I went, because you were so excited about it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It lived up to the hype, right?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's the best.
The dancing in the water, I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah.
I wish that was a gym class.
I know. It's the greatest thing
I would actually go to
gym.
Oh my God. It's so funny because Lindsay, the host, you mm-hmm. know, we like following her on Instagram is so fucking funny.
It's hilarious.
Because they just are such dorks.
Do they yeah. still have that show there?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They
all
really
hang out.
Do love
they
each other.
They all hang out together.
Yeah.
And like, you'll watch her Instagram stories and it's like, the other night was just them around a fire pit listening to John Mayer.
So
and I was like,
cute.
You are the most basic fucking dudes I've ever.
They're just hot basic dudes that are just like
funny.
Doing bits backstage.
Yeah.
Just like,
they all just like goof. Off
yeah.
of each other. That's great.
And they can feel slightly better than like sort of some Chippendales dancer by like, you know, these sort of artistic.
Yeah, yeah. They're
yeah.
doing
yeah.
the feminist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Know,
yeah,
the feminist.
Exactly.
I don't know. Do you guys think the Chippendales hang out together?
No.
If you work, I think anybody you work with that much you
that's
hang
true.
Out with.
Yeah.
Know, to some degree.
That's true.
Mm. Yeah, probably. Well, I think especially if you're like in Vegas. I feel like Vegas is probably a very isolating place to live in. So you're just like, these are the people that I know. I don't know how the hell else to meet anybody else. Like, because if you yeah. what you go to other shows, even it would just be like, oh well, they're working. I guess we'll hang. Like, there isn't like a place. There's like a Dirty Dancing place for everybody to like hang out afterwards, right?
Wouldn't
not,
that
yeah.
be nice?
I mean,
though,
that would be
huh?
great.
That would be fantastic.
Every show should have that. I
yeah,
think.
Yeah. Like, where's the speakeasy that all the like Cirque du Soleil performers go to? And
oh, there's
meet
for
each other?
Sure one.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
yeah.
sure. Yeah,
yeah. It's a like in a light fixture somewhere in a ceiling.
I just see an ankle. Like, what's happening? It's just floating up.
Yeah, exactly.
Where'd she go?
It's
take
a place
me there.
None of us can literally access.
Yeah, exactly.
At all.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that there's like a Cirque du Soleil exercise class that you can take in Vegas, and I'm always like, you would have fun.
That's like the slide.
Yeah, yeah.
But you
and
have to
I'm
go
like,
in.
Who the fuck's working out in Vegas? I'm
also,
not going to Vegas
me,
to work out.
I always work out in Vegas.
Oh, well,
not always, not when I'm there with you, but if I'm there with my family.
Yeah. Well, you can have fun
oh,
doing
yeah.
that.
I'm never there with family.
I yeah. feel like I don't want to pay money to feel bad, and I can't imagine not just feeling bad at a Cirque du Soleil exercise class. You know what I mean?
But the real, but it's not like the real Cirque du Soleil people are in there.
What? A bunch of them are though.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like this is like the workouts that like they do.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's you getting to see behind the scenes, and it's like, I don't need to know how out of shape I am.
But what if it was yeah, like? Yeah, what if it was like sort of like the Britney exercise? Or you know what I mean? Or like, what if like you yeah. could do an exercise class with any sort of like?
I swear to God, that's what I need.
With any
like,
of the performers?
I need
yeah.
themes.
Yeah. Where they're like, they're
I
the dancers. And wouldn't you want to do that? I hate workout classes. Let me just establish this to America.
I don't
work out by myself.
Name.
I run like you by myself. I have a trainer, but I mm-hmm. do not, I can't be in a group.
Oh.
I can't be in a group. I can't conform.
That's I like.
I can't do it.
Yeah, why don't you like it?
I just, like, one time I got tricked into being a group class is, like, I was belonged to this gym in Philly, and they're like, mm-hmm. and I did it, and I was wanted a trainer. Like, no, but do this program, it's semi-private. And, like, for a while, semi-private. It was fine, where, like, you have, like, your little sheet of the workouts that you do, and then you kind of follow it, and then the trainer kind of comes around and, like, helps you with, you know, mm-hmm. different things. But then it slowly evolved into, okay, now we're all going to get together and do these 10 things together. And I'm like,
no,
nope. I have fun. And then I would, like text, I was like, I'm not participating. Any of the group parts, and I just want you to know that I just don't like. I don't like.
You're such a bad boy, Michelle.
I can't guarantee. I just
I
people
it.
Like always pick out one person that I hate, And then I'm just like, I can't be around that person. And maybe I like a couple people, but I don't want to just be workout buddies with them. I don't know. I just like to do it by myself.
No, I'm kind of with you. I'm definitely like a solo person. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. You don't do this because you don't take classes, but like in yoga classes, to me, yoga is solitary.
I did a Pilates class when I lived in Vienna. I had to find a lot of things to do to kind of like sort of keep busy. But I did a Pilates class the whole time I was there, and I loved it because that's different, I think. I feel like it's like a...
You're kind of in a bubble.
You're in a bubble, and you're just like, it's like, I've never done yoga, but I imagine
But yoga, every once in a while, a teacher will pull this move where they're like, okay, partner up. Leave the room.
Are you kidding? You can just get a reaction shot in my face when someone said that.
I thought you said I leave. That'd be so fun if you're just like, bye. Yeah, we're not here to like fucking hang out with other people.
And especially yoga is like some stranger you're like pressing on the lower back.
Don't fucking touch me.
Unless there's like one hot guy you just talk to.
I'm sorry, but past the age of like 10, you should never say partner up to anyone.
No.
That's the one thing about why it's good that you don't want kids is because Tenny is 6 now. She's in kindergarten. She's at this private school. It's Quaker school. It's like through 12th grade, and it's very fancy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
we got some fancy parents.
Parents, and they're like super hardcore class parents, sending me emails all the time. And I have not been very social this year, so I just forward them to Alex. I'm like, I can't fucking go to this cocktail party.
Yeah,
there's no way I'm gonna go. And so, it's just like I can't. It's so difficult for me to like sort of be forced to socialize, especially when people can't really. And I'm not saying nobody can relate to me, but I'm saying even less so than living here. Like I just feel that nobody can really relate, and I don't feel like justifying myself.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, especially when you're a comedian. I mean, like, because you know, I'm married to a comedian too. So when we're traveling, people are like, "What do you guys do?" It's like I never want to tell them because it's like we're not going to have an interesting conversation.
No.
We're not that funny right now.
Exactly.
Like, we don't,
no.
Yeah,
This dad at school, who is God, and you know what? If you're listening to this, because now I think he might stalk me. Sorry, buddy. but he really loves Tenny. He has a daughter in her class, and I was going to pick her up, and I walk, and he's walking like in the front, like where you pick her up, and he sees me, and he goes, "Michelle," and I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "You didn't tell me your secret." And I was like, "What?" Yep. And I was like, I have like a real short right now. Like, I can't handle a lot of like sort of this kind of stuff. And he's like, "You didn't." I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "You're famous."
Your secret is that you're famous.
And I said, he goes, "You're a stand-up comedian." He goes, "You're famous. You have an album and a podcast." I swear to God, that's what he said. I don't even know if he knew I was on TV. Like, literally said, "You have an album." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been doing it for 18 years. It's like really no big deal." "I can't believe you didn't. I bought your album. Like, I found, like," and it's just like this whole thing.
It's like my biggest nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I wanted to hide. Of course, he was trying to be funny.
It was the worst.
How long
did it take until he said, "Oh, I bet you were going to write a joke about this"?
I'm sure he said that. I can't remember him specifically saying that, but I'm sure he said that. And like, he is constantly working out bits on me. And I don't like that. I like people who are just normal and kind of funny to me, which there are a couple parents who I'm like, okay, like that's, you know, if I'm forced to hang out with a parent, I guess I'll pick you, you know, like, but
totally. I know what you mean.
Someone
like,
I can dominate in conversation.
Your secret. I found out your secret.
Your secret is so that weird. You're a public figure.
But can I tell you the second, and I honestly, I'd already told Alex because of the way he was kind of like seemed like really excited about us. I said, "I bet he's found." Like, I feel like one of the reasons we got accepted in the school is because I'm a stand-up comedian, because it's like so different, because they're really interested in the parents.
Right.
And they were like, "Oh, we have somebody to host all the fundraisers now."
And
get ready for that.
Yeah. Nope. Sorry. And but yeah, and I thought that I bet sometimes I think that when people like are overly exuberant about me, like I bet like figured out like found me on the internet or something. But no, I guess it was just building up. The second he said, I was like, "Oh shit, here we go."
Oh, what a bummer. Has he told the other parents?
Probably. I'm never at the parent functions, but I really am not. And like, and I think they all hate
me. Oh, you know they're talking about it. Of course they are. They're all listening to your album together.
It's so weird. I just feel like when they talk to me, it's just like this sort of like, are you on your way to work? Nope, I'm just going to go to a coffee shop and sit for 3 hours and watch Netflix.
yep. Yeah, that's my day. Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not all.
I know, and it's hard to find common ground. I find it hard to find common ground sometimes with those people on the other end because, like, I don't know what to ask them about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so how's your kitchen remodel?
Yeah, exactly.
They're always getting their kitchen remodeled.
Always.
That is true. Yeah. That's a great.
Yeah. It's a good go-to.
Exactly. Always got to work on something. Do you find yourself, like, rooting for Tenny to be friends with different kids based on parents? I feel like I'd be like, hang out with this kid instead.
So I don't do that, but it's on the flip side where we're like, ugh, like they're, you know, she's friends like with this person, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like that parent. But we're mostly like pretty, but we have like, there's a couple new parents. There's that we're like eyeing them, like saying like, okay, they seem cool. You know, like, so like we're like at a key party, like, come on over. Yeah. You know? Like, but
can you guys hang?
Yeah. But it's, yeah. So it's, you know, I mean, I know it doesn't look, it's not a good look, but I can't really conceal when I don't want to be around somebody.
No, so, fair.
And so it is what it is. And Alex knows. And so it behooves him to sort of make sure that I'm not in that situation.
And he's happy to sort of pick up the slack.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
For sure.
I think it's good to have a couple. I'm the more social in our couple.
Yeah.
But you got to have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It balances it out because you can be like, maybe we don't do everything, and he's like, "Oh, I can step in the moments." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
and when absolutely. I like somebody, like then I'm like, "Oh, this wow, okay, you're really fun to talk to."
You know? Totally.
And then it's great. Then it's a big payoff. You know, you win my attention. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes,
yeah, for sure.
It's worked. Whatever you've done, you're, you know.
Wow, I feel honored.
I know, me too.
Oh, well. Assuming you like us.
Yeah.
Until one of us has a kid.
Uh-oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've known each other for a long time now, which it doesn't seem that long, but it has been very long.
I know.
Like, at least 10 years,
yeah.
Right?
So. Easily, yeah.
Which is...
We were just talking about, because we both moved to LA about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And I didn't know you guys right away. I knew, like, you guys were doing shows and stuff, and then, yeah.
Well, my earliest memories of you, whenever I would hear your name, I would always hear this one punchline where you say gaping ass wounds. And in my head, I always hear Michelle Balloon, gaping ass wounds.
Yeah, it's fun to say. It's really right. Fun.
That's that guy's favorite joke, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you're in my phone.
Good. Oh, perfect. I love it. I'll take it.
Not knowing the context of that is good, too, because now I'm going to say, hey, you gaping ass wounds, we'll be back after this break. I'm just calling our listeners.
Yeah.
It's great, Bets. Bye-bye.
BRB.
Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Michelle Balloon.
Yay, this is fun.
Woo-hoo. So you've had like a crazy journey the last year.
Yeah, it's been a very, today, up to this day, it's been a crazy year. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in January. It's an autoimmune disorder where your immune system attacks the sheaths surrounding the neurons of your brain and your spine. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's different for lots of people, because it can attack different things.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, I could have had it for a very long time. Now I know that there's things that I have that were probably MS, and I just thought like, oh, everybody has numb hands. I was actually here in LA in December. Mm-hmm. And I was going to see a friend of mine who had a traumatic brain injury.
Oh my God.
And I was like looking on the internet, how do I talk to this person? You know what I mean? Like, what do I say? What's the right thing? Mm-hmm. And that night I had a drink with Jim Hamilton and I was like, why am I getting faint? Like, I just kept getting faint. And it was like, it would like come on like a wave of faintness.
Yeah.
And then it didn't go away. And it was really, really like just sort of, and I did a pregnancy test. I checked my glucose. Uh-huh. I had my heart rate on my Apple Watch, like everything. And I get back to Philly and I went to the doctor and they did the blood test and it just was not going away. And then I started to feel bad. Mm. And then we did later the CT scan. It was nothing.
Yeah.
And then I actually was supposed to come back to LA for 3 weeks for like a Disneyland trip with my family. But then I was supposed to go to Sketchfest and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to see an ENT, and he's like, well, it's not an ear infection or vertigo. He's like, you should go get an MRI before you go. And I got an MRI in the emergency room, and they're like, you have MS.
Huh. So that's how they diagnose it, is with an MRI?
For an MRI.
Yeah, you actually get lesions. So they show up as lesions, the active one. So I was having an attack. Mm-hmm. And they could actually see old ones, so that, you know, so they know it's been present. Mm-hmm. And so they did the MRI, and then they followed up with like a full body. It was like an hour and a half long MRI. The second one to do. But good news is they don't have any hidden cancer, and you know what I mean, like,
that's
silver
good.
Linings.
And
then they found a couple more lesions, like mm-hmm. smaller ones on my spine. So that's how they confirm it.
Got it.
And yeah, there's nothing you can do about like the symptoms of MS really, mm-hmm. Because it's when your nerves are damaged, they're damaged, and so when you have like a particularly bad bender, like I had, they put you on steroids for 3 days, which is what they did. I had no idea what was happening to me. I still went to LA. I went to Disneyland. 2 days
still
after.
Went?
Wow.
They almost didn't check me out. They put me on oral steroids. I was like, this should be a convalescent home. I had no idea what was happening. I was in the hospital, and the doctor was like, yeah, he's like, well, maybe you should just, like, you know, don't stay out late. I'm like, I'm a comedian. I've got like 20 shows. Like, I have to stay out late. What are you talking about, nerd?
Yeah,
I had no clue. And then I got in, and then slowly but surely I canceled everything.
Yeah.
And it just like sort of, it was like falling off a cliff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and I've just been kind of recovering the whole year.
So it just makes you really tired?
Yeah. So now I feel better than I did in the beginning of the year, but mm-hmm. generally I'm about 30% of what I was, like, productivity, like,
wow.
very yeah. tired, very fatigued, very easily. And not mm-hmm. just fatigued. I think people think of it as like, you know, not will be able to walk. It's fatiguing. Like, this will be fatiguing for me, like, yeah. after we get done talking.
Yeah.
You know, stress is fatiguing. Mm-hmm. And that brings on symptoms, and the symptoms are different for everybody. My face will get numb, and my hands will start hurting.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of that. And it's just, I mean, it's really difficult, because I'm mm-hmm. a person who would go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And even coming here, this is my first real trip back since then. Uh-huh. And sort of having to plan this trip where I only booked two shows. One of them is Sauce. And this podcast.
Yeah.
And that was it, because I wanted to be able to not, I'm the whole, my whole thing is I'm not putting any pressure on myself, and I don't want to set myself up to fail.
Yeah.
And so just to sort of like figure out how I can do it. But it's hard to manage, and it sucks sometimes, but it's just very up and down. And
was there anything you had to do to mentally kind of like get to that place where you are now?
I'm still getting there. It's taken a long time. I thought I was going to, when I came back to Philly after LA, when I first found out, I told my husband, Alex, I said, I don't want to know anything about MS at all. I just don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
His dad is a dean of a school at Harvard, one of the medical schools there. Mm-hmm. And so he found us at Penn. They have a great MS center there. And so the head of that MS center, that's my doctor, who's kind of a jerk, but but whatever. And smart people can be assholes, I guess. And so I was just like, I don't want to think about anything. You do everything. And mm-hmm. and when I got back, but I'm not that person. Like, I'm the person who like does.
Knows it all.
And who just takes care of my own shit and follows up. But I just couldn't. And I just, all these things were happening around me.
Yeah.
Like with stand up. I was at Disneyland. I had sent a tape in to Conan, to the booker at Conan. I was sitting at Disneyland, so it was like Wednesday. I was diagnosed on Saturday, and JP Buck emailed me back finally and said, okay, I like these two jokes.
Oh,
let's work on a tape. And I burst into tears.
Oh,
it was crazy.
And of course.
And I called up Lori Kamart, and I said, what do I do?
Yeah.
And she goes, Michelle, just tell him that you have a medical emergency. He's not going to think you don't want to be on TV.
Yeah.
I totally relate to that, because you're a type A kind of goal-driven person, I mean, that's why I'm just
I had
like,
to drop it all. This is the new version of me, and mm-hmm. I've had to sort of, like we were talking about parents, I've had to like say, I can't do that. Like, I can't sort of put myself out there to do that. I have to say no. I have to pick what I want, mm-hmm. who I want. And so when I came back, I was just like, I can't do stand-up. But I was like, am I going to quit? I like, this is so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, in April, I'm going to start. And I did. I had a monthly show, which I actually don't have anymore. I can't. I'm not doing that anymore. But
yeah.
And so I started going back and doing some stand up. People and this has been a very slow process, mm-hmm. but stand up is very hard because it's at night and it involves your brain a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so and also a lot of times the social part can be hard for me. And so like I have to kind of chill and just shut up, do my set, and then. You know, like recover from
the social part is like the most energy by
training in itself.
And so it's just I'm not going to be able to sort of I can't look at things like, oh, when I get back to this point, like I'm not thinking of it that way. I'm thinking of how can I make it so I'm doing it and it's like, you know, I can make it happen how it is now
within my parameters.
New parameters and not feel bad about it, which I don't.
God, I'm just thinking about being stuck at so many shows talking to somebody that you're just like, I can't talk to you.
No, it's hard. My doctor actually gave me a prescription to Adderall, which I took like twice. And I'm like, that's not me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, totally. What it did. I was like, I can't use that for stage or talking.
Oh, my God. I've been on stage on Adderall, I think, once or twice. And both were, like, some of the worst 10 minutes of my life. Yeah. Because, first of all, I had sweat going down my hips.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's not like totally.
Your timing's all off. Your mouth is all dry. Yeah.
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 But, yeah.
Is it something that runs in the family?
No, they don't know how you get it.
Okay.
There's a genetic component, they say, like my sister's, like my twin sister, has a slightly higher chance than like you would.
Yeah, yeah.
They think there's an environmental component. It's like where you are in relation to the equator or something.
Really?
It's like all this stuff.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, when I was told I had MS, the first thing I asked, I was like, is this life-ending or life-threatening? And she's like, no, it's not. And she's like, and so they actually have the drugs now are a lot better than they were 5 years ago. 10 years ago, especially like 30 years ago. And so you can't be on drugs to manage your symptoms, really. You know, you kind of just have to live and deal with your symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But you can you take drugs, disease managing therapies that slow the progression of the disease, which is, and the one I'm on, thank God, was approved by the FDA last year, because at first, the ones that were shown to me were pills you had to take every day, shots you had to do like every week or whatever. That means I'd have to travel with all that stuff
and
remember to do it. And I just was like, oh. And there's this drug now and that you do every 6 months. It's kind of like chemo. And I've done it twice now where you just sit and they just, you know, they hooked up to an IV and you get the drug and it kills all the B cells. So you have your immune system is T cells and B cells.
Yeah.
And so it kills all the B cells and the B cells are the ones that are attacking, your neurons. So... that's what I'm on, and in January I get a follow-up MRI to see if it's working, which it's supposed to be like this new amazing drug that's really like sort of doing a good job slowing. It's a progressive disease though. Like you have to sort of like, but you know what I mean? Like, right. I always just say like, even where I'm at right now, like if this is how it is forever, I'm fine with it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
You know, but yeah, so I'm just glad that I like have insurance because holy shit, the insurance bills are the drug itself, not any administration of it, is $65,000.
What?
Yeah, twice a year. And there's programs where the
how's
the drug,
that? Like, come on.
Yeah, there's programs where the drug companies will actually cover that for people who can't pay for it. But that doesn't include any of the sort of management. And the thing is with something like MS, where lots of people don't even take the drugs because they don't cure the symptoms. And people are like, fuck that shit, big pharma. And so they don't go on these drugs. And if you see the charts, if you don't go on one of these therapies, you're because it's a progressive disease.
Yeah,
your progression is going to go... whoosh,
yeah, I have an uncle who's, I don't think he's taken any of the drugs and he's pretty far.
You know, you just have to be like, okay, this is how, it's frustrating because now I have things that go wrong with me and you go to the doctor and they're just like, yeah, you have MS.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like my hand, you know, like my foot's been numb
for them, it's a catch-all. They're like, we're not even going to do anything.
Yeah, you can't, there's nothing you can really do.
And that's so frustrating.
Do you use weed at all? Does weed help?
Yeah. So I got, I smoked a lot. I didn't smoke. I was doing a lot of edibles. The all I did for the first 3 or 4 months is play video games and get high. And
that
and
like
I just
17-year-old boy.
That makes
because
sense.
My brain, because also like I have a lot of cognitive things too.
Yeah.
And so just real slow down. Like I get to, I know what dumb people feel like. And, and I just was like, okay, like I just did that. And then medical is now legal. And so I have a prescription in Pennsylvania. And so I have a vape. And then I just went to MedMen and bought some edibles here.
Yeah.
And I travel with it. Like, I'm going to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to bring those blueberries back home with me.
Yeah.
And,
well, LAX has that rule now where they you won't. Can, you can fly with weed out of LAX.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'm still hiding it, but.
No, but yeah.
But like, yeah, like straight up. Because I have a new plan. Because I've been like putting it in tampon boxes and shit. Yeah. I'm like, fuck that. I'll just go smoke it all wherever I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, again, not to get on my like cannabis like soapbox, but it's so because my uncle, I know like weed has been like the best thing for. I don't think he's doing any of that other stuff, but weed seems to really be helping him. And it's like, God, this is this thing that like grows from the earth.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That has virtually no side effects.
That was my thing is because I get in moments where I'm like, I don't want to be taking Advil every day for the rest of my life. That's really bad.
Well, it's bad for your body. Yeah,
and I was just like, so for me, and so weed is really great for that. Mm-hmm. And one way weed is really great, and you know, is like just these sort of anti-anxiety because a lot of it is. When I took a good nap today.
Yeah.
And I actually but earlier today before I took the nap, I was like, I feel like shit. And and when you feel really bad, it's like sort of like this rabbit hole of like, fuck, you know what I mean? I'm gonna have to I can't do anything.
Stress exacerbates all of it.
And so you just sort of just to be able to have that, it's really great. And I just you know, I just
do you know
high.
Do you know like what percentage of like the population gets it?
It's rarer than people think. I mean, I think it's something like worldwide, it's like 2 million cases. And I would imagine MS, though, is one of those things that some people have and don't know that they have. But also, it's one of those things that people think they have and they don't have, which is what I've gotten a lot of people, which I did not want, with people reaching out to me and saying, I have these symptoms and like, you know, like,
I don't want
to
be your fucking doctor.
You Google like something and like, I have this.
And I just said, listen, I said, this is what I said. Like my cousin actually did this to me. And I said, listen, I said, I didn't know I had it until this one thing happened. But now I know I probably had it for like maybe over 10 years.
Yeah.
But I am glad I was not diagnosed before I was. Yeah. Because even though it's probably better to go on the drugs earlier, the sort of this sort of parameter added to your life, I just having to be on drugs, I just turned 42. Like, I just, I just don't wish it upon yourself. You know, our bodies are not perfect. Doctors are not perfect. And shit happens, you know?
Yeah.
And but people get, it is one of those things. I'm glad that I got, I mean, it's pretty amazing, though. I mean, this happened to me. I was diagnosed 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's huge.
It wasn't even, but you know what? I've told my doctors over probably the last 10 years that my hands are numb, which is really funny. And like they ask me questions like, oh yeah, my hands are numb, but they've always been numb. It's just, I have like an ulnar nerve thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's like.
Yeah. Well, that's like it's the most like. I'm a woman thing ever where you're just like, well, here's the thing that's been happening chronically for a long time. But like, I mean, you might not take it seriously and like, I'll just live with it and work through it. Yeah.
And also on both sides, how you present it and how they receive it.
Right. Absolutely.
I feel like every time I go to the doctor, they're not actually listening to me. Nine times out of 10.
I always, when I move to a new place, is I interview doctors. Like I'll go and I'll just make an appointment and see if I like them. And if I don't, so I can find before I get sick, so I can find that.
That's so
doctor.
Nice. That's so smart.
I think that's another talk about the health insurance thing. I mean, I currently have actually pretty shitty health insurance.
Yeah, you don't have that. Yeah.
You get Joe what's his fuck they assigned you in the randomizer.
Yeah, it's whatever you can come up with.
And when I had to go in and go back to Philly and do all those tests, my doctor was on vacation. So I was with another doctor who was great. And she would have eventually taken me. But I was in such a rush to leave town that I ended up having to just go to the ER. But you know, but it is true. Like it's just like having to sort of, and honestly, like I have a neurologist now and it's very frustrating because here's this guy who you want to look at your MRIs and stuff, but I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's a real jerk and sort of, but like but he's like the best guy to look and say, oh, this is where stuff is at. Mm-hmm. He's like, ask me how I'm doing. I'm telling him. It's like, oh yeah, well he'll do stuff like this where you're like, yeah, my hands really hurt. Yeah. But you know what? You're getting old too. So like that happens. Like he'll sort of like say things like, he'll be like, well, even if you didn't, he didn't say it like that, but I know he's implying like, even if you didn't have MS, then like, yeah, well, my brain, sometimes I'm like, it's misfiring. Like I forget. Oh yeah. But that happened. Like, it's just sort of, you just want someone to treat you like a baby.
You're
for like,
well, yeah, everything else sucks. Can you be nice?
Can you sort of like treat me like a baby? Just because I'm not rolling in here and I can pass all your neurological tests and I'm like your star MS
student.
Well,
it's also like, I'm in a doctor's office. I'm not just on a fucking park bench talking to somebody about this. There's a reason why I'm here.
Like, when I broke my ass on my birthday, it was my my birthday. Yes, like, be nice to me. Yes. I'm in the emergency room and it's my birthday. And like one of the doctors taking my x-rays was like, yeah, you're a little old. They'd be going over jumps, don't you think?
I'm double. Yeah.
Yeah. My ass is broken and I'm in the emergency room and it's my birthday. Don't call me old.
Yeah. Exactly.
My general physician, who is really good looking also, who is wonderful and so sweet and almost made me cry when I saw him after I came back. So I saw my neurologist and then I saw him. And I make appointments around the same time. So I just go and see him because then he makes me feel better because he asks me just to have that because like literally that's all I need someone to just listen and say, you know, and not be like, oh, but you still can walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, but you still like for some, but to say that in the way like, oh, why are like, but you can still walk. So like, what's their problem? I want someone to just say, no, that does, you know,
it's not your hands are numb.
I don't need you to do it, but like just when you're going into a doctor or to explain like a medical reasoning behind something, you know what I mean? Like saying, this is what's happening. You
know? Exactly. Give me a reason why I'm not a number in your fucking office.
So what about like on the other side of things, like so if someone has just been diagnosed with MS or an autoimmune disease, like what would be your advice, like looking back, like first couple months, like what's the best?
I think that like, I mean, I, for me, I like the fact I gave myself a break from information.
I think, yeah.
But then I did not, you know, I learned about it and I didn't.
Yeah.
And I just sort of trusted the experts and I didn't sort of, I tried not to let myself get frustrated. I think one of the good things that I've been doing, and it's still very difficult, and it's why normally I'm in LA a lot more often. Normally I'm here like every 2 months, and which I've not been, and is to sort of, I gave myself that chance to sort of take a break, you know, and take care of myself for 3 or 4 months, like, you know, get high and play video games. And slowly come out. And also, I still do not put any pressure on myself to be productive. And I let myself go, you know, to kind of like to sort of not sort of feel bad.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because you're used to a certain way of like how you're living your life. You're like, well, there was a point where I was like, I can't. I was on a trajectory. I was, you know, I was doing lots of things. I was supposed to record an album this year. And not that that's like the biggest thing ever, but I was supposed to do, you know, other things.
Well, yeah, our projects are
projects that I had, and I was doing a ton of stand up, and I'm like, I can't do it. I'm just going to have to quit.
Yeah.
But then I think my biggest advice is try not to think of it as so binary. Think of how you can do your life in a way that's still your life, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm like, and I'm letting that take as long. And I'm blessed to have a, you know, a husband who works, who has insurance, and that kind of, and I'm older, you know, I've lived my life, I've, you know, but it's like, I think to sort of figure that out, to figure out like, okay, a year over year, my life is very different, but I'm still making it good.
Yeah. Well, and it probably, it can make you. You can take good lessons from stuff too to be like, oh, I'm for sure going to be as present as fucking possible now.
Yeah,
100%. You know?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it's like you take Tenny to school every day on a trolley. Like
not
that's,
true, but yes.
Well, okay, well.
A couple days.
Yeah, whatever feeling it. No, but like, yeah, it's like you can, these like memories become more important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like sort of just saying like, I don't feel, and I know that you guys are like the, like this too, but like I don't feel that I have to sort of do as much as I can every single day, be as, you know, how many, you know, coming into LA, how many shows can I possibly do, how many people can I see, how many podcasts can I do, because I'm just here for a week. I can't fucking do it, you know what I mean? And and so I think that it's just letting go of that. It's still hard, but you know, it's you know, it's, I'm just so far so good.
Is it
know?
Freeing at all?
It is freeing. I said that the other night. It is a little bit freeing. When this happened, at first it was very sad to me because, I mean, I had so much stand-up booked when I was, and I was doing Sketchfest, and like, I had so much, I had to cancel. I was supposed to go to Austin, Denver, Chicago. I had, because I was traveling like 2 weeks out of the month for like the last couple years. And I had to cancel everything. And then I started coming back, and I've done some, like Maria Bamford's had me open for a few times, like I opened for Patton Oswalt. Like people have been very nice, like in a way that I wasn't expecting people to. People have been like sort of patient and not wanting me to quit, and just sort of like just being there and being able to not where I'm not doing a lot of stand up and doing stand up and saying, oh, I'm still good at this.
Yeah.
A little slower, but I'm good.
Yeah.
And so it's, it's, I can't, you know, like you're just sort of grinding. You don't know what you're grinding until you just need to grind. I can't do that anymore. So that's freeing. I don't have to think, I just have to do everything to get to this thing that I don't know.
Yeah.
So now it's more like, okay, I want to do enough stand up to where it makes me happy and I'm doing stand up, but what else can I do? What else can I work on? Mm-hmm. And when I'm ready to start it, I will.
You know?
And that's freeing because I am not sort of working toward this, like, you know, Netflix special or this thing or that thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, even if you get the Netflix special, then there's something else. Anyway, so
it's always
whatever your deal is, all you ever have is the present moment, whatever anyone's deal is.
I mean, I certainly would rather not have MS, but it was kind of like a sort of like, well, you don't have to do this shit anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you don't have to run around.
I feel like that, not that I have that, but in a similar way, just as I've gotten older, what I've realized, like, I'm like, oh, I don't have to go to this fucking party or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't give a shit. I don't want to talk to
anybody. Can be fulfilled.
Yeah.
I don't have to feel bad about not going to that
That's
party.
That's the biggest thing. I'm like, oh, I don't give two fucks. Yeah. I'm great. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is who I actually want to talk to.
Yeah.
I can imagine it just as like, no, my time is limited. So like, this is who I will actually make the time to see and everything too.
And it's the guilt thing too. I mean, guilt is such an unproductive emotion. And it's like something I think that everyone, especially if you're a productive person, like you deal with guilt constantly and it's like that you can't go back in time and do that thing. Either do it or don't, but try not to feel guilty
about
it.
It's hard. That's been freeing, is allowing myself to not feel guilty because and knowing that I have, even though I did nothing for a long time, I mean I was still, you know, but I mostly did nothing.
Yeah.
Beat a lot of video games and can't wait to go home and play Red Dead Redemption, by the
way. There you go.
And
I've heard it's very chill.
And but it's just, you know, to sort of, you know, just to, you know, just get to a place where it's just, you're just sort of happy for like what, you know, what you're doing, like a regular person. I think there's regular, I feel like that's the lot, maybe not right, maybe everyone feels like this, but I feel like especially in what we do, it's this sort of this performative production, busy, what can you be doing, and it's just a lot of pressure.
Well, it's also really great to be able to, like, I feel like we're all so conditioned to be like, I own the prize. Everything else is just like, it's tunnel. But to be able to know that you can take your eye off of it for a second.
Yeah.
And the shit will still be there because you put the work in.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, even being able to come in, I don't really feel bad about what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
I've been doing stand up a long time and I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. And, but I could roll in and not be doing a ton of stand-up and open for Patton or open for Maria or do, like, you know, Hot Tub or whatever show.
Yeah.
These, like, just do all this stuff and just go in. And I don't fucking care that I'm not, like, so-and-so who's, like, hitting whatever. Like, you know, it's just, I don't, you know, like, I'm doing it well. It's not a make-a-wish. You know what I mean?
No.
And I don't, because I don't want to stop doing stand-up. And it was hard to, like, know that I'm not doing it to get to a certain point. You know, I'm actually meeting with a special thing guys tomorrow about releasing an album. And for a while I was like, well, oh God, okay, when I can get up. Right now I don't like to do more than 20 and I really don't like to do more than 10.
Yeah.
And I just said, when I get up to 45, you know, like then I could do, when I get up to an hour. And I'm like, why am I saying that? I don't even know if that's ever going to happen. So I am going to talk to them tomorrow about doing a stand-up album where I split it up into three or four 15-minute sets.
Nice.
Yeah. Like thematic, and come out here and do it. Do it like for 2 weeks to do like two sets a week.
Yeah.
And do it. I said, I'm going to flip it. I want to be the first person that goes up and then the other comics can go after.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
I
then just
that.
Like, how can I make it so I can actually do it?
Yeah.
And not
break the mold. Fuck it.
Yeah. And just, but anyhow.
So awesome. I love that. I think that's a great idea.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the thing with stand-up, too, is, like, look, at the end of the... Yeah, we're all in this rat race. We all want the fucking showcase and the yada yada. But, like, the best part of stand-up is doing stand-up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
Being on stage.
Absolutely.
Like, it's so simple.
100%. Yeah, that's it. It's, like, the fact that I have this to do is so... I mean, that's marijuana. That's my drug. What is that? A commercial?
I can just see a commercial like stand-up is my drug.
Stand-up is my drug.
Drugs are my drug, too. But
please. But also... But also, please don't start it because there's too many.
There's too many. And
yeah,
you're not funny.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have any punchlines. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh man! Well, it's awesome that you can you'll be able to like talk about it and stuff on stage too.
I've written some stuff. If I do this, I want to have one chunk, one about MS, and I probably want that to start off the album.
Yeah,
I have been writing stuff about it. I've been very encouraged to do it by people when I do it. It is a slow process. I have a therapist who I had not started going to therapy until October before this happened. I mean, what amazing happenstance! Yeah, she has been amazing.
Thank goodness.
And the one thing with it is when I started talking about my MS on stage and doing jokes, when I say in January I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and you could see the crowd, there's always people who react. Yeah. People think it's a terminal illness, you're going to die, and all this stuff, and you're on stage and you're getting people to like you, you know, or whatever, and then it is. And I was like, it's hard for me to do it. Everybody, there's always some person who makes that noise. And my therapist is like, you know, I think at a certain point, it's you who has to get used to the people reacting to you. And she like, that like blew my mind.
That's a really good way to think about it.
Absolutely.
Because once I get past that part, it's my take, my perspective, and it brings people back into this sort of.
Absolutely.
You know, but it still is hard. It's hard for me to work up. I'll probably, when we're at Sauce tomorrow, like so I said, it's nice. I can kind of like, okay, I'm just going to do the stuff that I'm working on.
Yeah, it's always like the audience needs to make sure everyone's okay, even if you're talking about a fake thing. Like you're talking about a fake thing that like died, and they're like, oh, you're like, this is I've made up an animal.
I remember in Groundlings one time, my teacher was like, somebody did an exercise where they killed an animal, and my teacher was like, never kill animals or kids, no one will ever laugh at that ever. And I was like, you see comics do all the time, it's like, no one's gonna laugh at a dead cat.
I laughed at that reference. No one's gonna laugh at a dead cat.
Tessa's
hilarious.
Kids.
I don't know.
No one's going to laugh at a dead cat, all right?
It's like Take Fountain. Yeah. Those are the two. Should I do the setup so anybody knows? You'll just have to look it up.
Yeah.
You'll make it in this town.
We've got to take a break.
What's the biggest piece of advice you can give me? Take Fountain.
Take
Fountain, don't kill a cat.
Don't kill a cat.
I just fucked it up.
Whatever.
we'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey y'all, we're back. It's Lady to Lady. If you didn't know what you're listening to.
We're here.
We're here with Michelle Bloom.
Yeah.
And should we
solve
the world's problems right now?
If you have lady problems, send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. I was like, wait,
ladytoladygmail@comedy.com.
Yes, there it is. Okay, here we go.
Lady problems.
Hey ladies, I have a problem I'd love your perspective on. I've been dating my boyfriend for about a year now. We've discussed moving in together when the lease is up on my apartment next August, just under a year from now, assuming the relationship doesn't hit any unforeseen bumps in the year to come. The only problem is, he stated pretty adamantly that if I move in with him, I can't bring my cat. Mm-mm. It's not that he doesn't like the cat, he'll play with her and bring her treats and nap with her on my couch.
Aww,
it's that he's allergic and can't spend more than a few hours at my house without getting sneezy and short of breath. My cat is a female and a Maine Coon, both of which are known for being lower in dander/allergens than male cats or other breeds. My boyfriend's allergies only became noticeable once my current roommate adopted a male kitten a couple months after we started dating. Before the kitten, he had no problem spending time at my place and could spend the night without incident. I have a feeling that if I were to move in with just my cat, there wouldn't be a problem, but he doesn't want to take that chance. I've had my cat since before I knew my boyfriend. She's the friendliest, sweetest, snuggliest, once-in-a-lifetime kind of cat.
Aww.
There is no part of me that wants to entertain the idea of trying to find her a new home. But I love my boyfriend. He's a rare breed of millennial who is financially savvy and owns property at the age of 29. Hence my moving into his place on top of being a genuinely great partner. But I still don't know if he's the one. After all, we've only been dating a year. I'm 4 years younger than he is, and I'm in no rush to settle down, although I really could see us building a future together. So I'm torn. I love my boyfriend and don't want to stun our relationship by refusing to give up something that may really hamper his quality of life. But my cat comforted me through a lot of life's bullshit, and it would feel like the ultimate betrayal to give her away because of a boy asked me to. I'm the only human she totally trusts, and I can't bear the thought of abandoning her. So what do you guys think? Boyfriend or cat? below is a picture of the queen herself.
Oh, show me.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Kitty.
Oh, I love her.
Kitty.
I mean, either way, you're keeping this cat, obviously.
Keeping the cat. I mean, that's like all of us were just like, rolling our eyes this entire
I know.
There's nothing. I'm a millennial. He's got property. I should hook my whatever. Like,
I say test run. Also,
and
bring
also
the cat over.
And fucking take, like, there's allergy pills. Take fucking pills.
Yeah,
like,
take allergy pills. Yeah. This is a part of your life.
Also,
that's important.
You get over, like, even if it is this cat, you get over allergies if you're around them.
I actually had a girlfriend share something with me that's a little kooky.
Okay.
Supposedly.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God. I don't even know.
Put some of the cat hair up his butt, and then he'll be
so close.
Oh,
apparently. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, if you snip off a little bit of the cat's hair and sprinkle it in their food a couple times,
cures the allergy.
That's dumb.
I mean, local honey is supposed to do that for pollen and stuff.
Man.
If you haven't tried this on Sean, I'm not trusting.
This
it.
Is not a not a sanctioned test hack.
Yeah. Maybe I will try it on Sean.
Yeah,
I want a cat.
But you know what? If someone is sort of saying like, when is it going to stop? That seems like a pretty big ask. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you're sort of I'm not saying like he's a horrible person, but you have good reason to think that this could actually work out.
Yeah.
And if you're just sort of saying, okay, well, I love I think he's the one, and I guess I'm so skeptical of there's
hard no,
do I have to say it louder so she hard no lady
hard no.
I don't remember your name, but hard
that's
no.
Our new dump him hard no
hard yes no. That's actually a level of I mean I don't know if you need to dump him, but it's a hard ass
it's not a dump, it's just sort of just it's, explaining it that way, saying listen, you know what I mean, I know that you can try these things, you know, and like, let's do a test run. Let me just live at your place for a little while.
That's what I would do. Live at his place for a week.
Yeah.
And, but just no, it's
rent. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
rent a new place
there that he honestly, I mean, like I'm assuming that these, whoever this is 20 years younger than I am, but,
he's 29. She's 24 or 25.
13,
yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
13 and 17 years younger than me. So I'm old enough to be definitely a teen mom, and the other one's something bad happened to me.
and that's the one that hates cats. So,
and so it's just like I just think that this is something where you're just like, this is part of you. This is who you are.
It's kind.
And I had a cat that I had as a child that I had through my late 20s, and so I completely relate.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's
no fucking way.
No,
that cat three states. That cat's staying.
Yeah.
I mean, now
the cat's dead, but still, it stayed until it died.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The one will take a fucking Benadryl.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
If he's the one, he'll get some allergy medicine.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, seriously, again, like, Sean is allergic.
And not pet. There's lots of things. People say about us, there's things that you can do if you're allergic to cats. Like,
absolutely.
Just don't pet the cat.
You don't pet the cat. Yeah, I'm allergic to cats, and I'm around cats all
get a
lot.
Roomba. Like, you know, like, just
make sure it's
and
clean.
I mean, I will say, because Sean has pretty severe asthma and allergies and shit like that, when you have two dogs. And, like, because of that, I do try to be good about, like, dustbustering. I'm the one. If you're the pet owner and they have the allergies, I think step it up. Be the one that does the shit.
I will just say, in general, I bought a dustbuster recently. Changed my life.
Pretty great.
You can fucking clean up so much shit.
I don't have to leave that there.
This is a robot's job. You know?
Tess put her hands on her hips when she said pretty great. She sat up and went, pretty great.
Yeah.
It was like a commercial happened.
We just got our first Ghostbuster too, and I'm all about it.
It's amazing.
Because I was hauling the shop back out. Like, breaking my back.
Yeah, fuck that.
No, wait. No. Ghostbuster, if you're lazy and you need to clean.
I was doing a deep clean, though, and you know what's so bad? If you're like cleaning out like an old drawer and it just has shit in the corner, you do that before you wipe it. You know, just so much less shit.
Yeah, totally.
If anybody, by the way, if there's any companies out there listening to us,
we'll take a dozen.
Yeah, we absolutely will take
one
a dozen.
Dustbuster in every room.
You know, we've got a squatty potty from
they sent us those. They sent us squatty potties.
Because I
honestly really like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think about squatty potties can I just tell you?
Yes.
Uh-oh. I fucking hate the word potty so much.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that I just said it without thinking.
You hate it related to like having a kid who says potty?
No.
As a verb or a noun?
As an adult.
Or all of
as an adult.
Do you say it to Tinny though?
if I do, I've been tricked into saying it like I just was by it being in context. No, I do not say it to Tanya, like, do you have to go potty? Like, I just, like, if you could see, like, the sort of spasming disgust with myself.
Yeah,
I hate, exactly. I do, I've always hated it. I don't like it when adults say it.
It is pretty bad. It's like, talk about
like
it.
when a person says, I've got to go potty. Like, just apropos nothing, it's awful. There's no kids around. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I hate you.
Tanya goes to the shitter. Yeah, thank exactly, you very much.
I would rather.
Yeah.
I forgive you. I would seriously absolutely would rather say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But she doesn't. No, she says bathroom, restroom.
Yes, great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those are the correct words.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we don't need a euphemism for the bathroom.
But I do like the idea of that thing because I do see, like, when you're, you know, when you're shitting, I can see, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, it makes you sound a little straighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to be contrarian, but we got rid of ours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, didn't notice a big difference.
Well, you're a vegetarian.
It's funny because I did notice you don't have one, and I was like, I wonder what they did with their spotty potty.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to
what
ask.
What sort of freaky shit happened?
Tess, I have two bathrooms. This is bullshit. What happened? Where'd it go?
Oh, fuck. I should have given you the other.
You don't want to use squatty, potty.
Did you put a squatty potty, like, out on the curb?
Threw it away.
Oh, so someone just sidewalk sale the squatty potty?
I should have. I mean, I put it in the trash can. It's probably wasteful because it's plastic. But honestly, it was for Sean.
Yeah.
Anything,
and he didn't like it?
He wouldn't use it.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
He wouldn't use it?
Yeah.
It feels weirdly Irish Catholic that he wouldn't
probably
use it. Yeah.
Like, we've shat like this for millions of years. Yeah. I'm not doing
this house.
Why would I feel better shitting? I want to do something that makes me feel bad every time I shit. That's being raised Catholic.
This house that we bought, the woman who we basically got a hand-me-down bidet.
Ooh,
hello. At first I was like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, no, it's not weird. What, you sit on a toilet seat? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, and so now we have a bidet in the master bath.
Do you love it?
I do love it. Not as much as my husband does.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He loves it like that's what he does instead of showering now. You know?
Yeah,
like,
bidets feel made for husbands.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do, sure. But I do like, it's not, I'm like, I forget to use it, but it is nice. It's like, oh. Yeah. More of like a surprise.
Such a weird sensation.
I mean, if you think about it, bidets should just be standard.
Yeah, it should be.
No, it is because, like, instead of like scraping at your, you know what I mean? Like, oh, look, I'm bleeding again because of this sort of like, you know.
Hot tip, if you go to the sushi place on Larchmont, they got a whole situation in there.
Okay.
Like a toilet?
The toilet seat. It's like one of those
seat?
It's like one of those warm seat toilets where you can do all the fucking press a bunch of buttons rules. And get all this stuff. But if it's on the toilet, it feels like it's toilet water.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
A public one seems
Yeah.
If you guys have Chris Fairbanks on the show, ever on Chris Fairbanks, he has the funniest bidet story. He was at a party. I'm gonna now tell it.
Yeah.
But please. He was at the bidet store. He's at a party and it's some rich guy's house and he went to the bathroom and it was a bidet and there was like a remote or something for the bidet and he used it on himself.
Yeah.
But while doing it, he was playing, he dropped the remote and the batteries fell out.
No.
And so he's stuck in this bidet with like the water coming out of the bathroom and he couldn't get up off the bidet. It was like
this
a fucking
this is the perfect
movie.
Person for
without,
this to happen
without
to.
Like water shooting at him. And he's telling the story to me like I'm gonna see him Saturday and I'm just like, please tell me the story again.
Yes.
And he had to like sort of like reach, like sort of do this thing, and then someone knocked on the door and he found, yeah, could you help me please?
Oh my god.
And they couldn't, and there's like water. I'm like, it literally
that
is
sounds like yeah, that's like a Dumb and Dumber.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is so
beautiful.
Oh
just
so
that
funny.
Moment where you realize your ass is stuck on a bidet.
Yeah.
That is just like, come on. For that to happen to a comedian.
And to Chris to be like,
yeah. He's the most perfect. Like, oh god, yeah. Yeah. That's like what would happen.
From Wyoming.
I will say, I think that we need to, I don't know.
What?
Can you guys weigh in on this?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
no.
I feel comfortable talking about it because Sean talked about it on his
podcast. You just brought up the cat hair thing, seriously, so I don't know what.
Sean talked about this on his podcast. I feel comfortable talking about it. But he, sometimes when he comes to bed,
yeah,
I think guys sometimes
need
to wipe their dicks.
Yeah.
Am I alone? Have you guys ever pee on their dicks a little bit?
I think every guy has that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard somebody else talk about how this is a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was like, Sean, please, you need to wipe your dick. I don't know what to tell you.
You
always have pee on your underwear.
Someone on stage was talking about how their boyfriend came out with, and there was a spot and she was like, oh, she thought it was like pre-cum or something.
Pre-cum. Yeah.
And there was like, he was like, no, it's pee. It's like, it happens every time. Like, you think it all gets out, but then a little drop.
That's what Sean said.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't understand. You don't have a dick. I'm like, that's true.
Yeah. Wipe
but
it.
You wipe it.
Wipe
I
it.
Wipe my pussy every time I pee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. We do the wipe shake. It. No, well, you guess what? You can do other things too.
Yeah.
Get a little. Get a little teepee.
Yeah, use a little teepee.
Literally 3 inches away from your dick.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've never thought about this before, and now I'm excited about to have another thing to be critical of my husband. Let me examine the droplets.
Yes,
droplets.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it's like I don't want to think about how you pee out of this. Yeah.
No, I know that you do.
Yes. I get it when I go down on you that's the situation, but I don't want to think about
urine
it.
Because
that's the thing. I'm noticing it when we go to bed at the end of the night, which is normally when I would give him a blowjob.
Yeah.
Like
maybe
if it was at like noon, I saw the pee. 8 p.m. blowjob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can't see pee on your underwear and then suck your dick.
No.
You know what I mean?
Gotta clean it off. Give it a little wash.
Culturally, I think we need to train men to wipe their dicks.
It is weird.
Absolutely. That they like it's you shake it.
We need a
but
dick
like
bidet.
There's not it's still you're not that doesn't air dry anything.
No.
It's not like maybe if you walked around with your dick out for a few minutes, and let it air dry.
Yeah. You know? That would be so funny if you started hearing the hair dryer go after That's what we need the dustbuster
like,
version.
It's like desperately seeking
dick
Susan,
buster.
You know, like when she's like drying off her hair.
Yes. Yeah, there's one for your hands and one for your dick in the bathroom. It's just two step up to them.
Dyson. It's a Dyson.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Water for your butthole and air for
your
dick.
You stick your dick in, take it out.
Frankly, it sounds fun.
Yeah,
it all sounds fun.
The Dyson dick.
So many cruising opportunities, too. I really
Absolutely.
Think.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I'm not alone. And
no.
He was trying to, but he was like, oh, you're ganging up on me because my prostate's getting bigger. I was like,
no. No. No.
Poor Sean.
You're ganging up on me.
Because my prostate.
Nope.
You know what I like to do is that's my go-to. I like to, I can't stop myself from teasing guys about their large prostates. I mean, it's just,
especially ganging up on them.
Finding my gang.
Team gang of one.
It's you and the prostate. It's just the two of you just like snapping like the jets behind him coming
Got
up.
Got satin jackets, you know.
It really backfired though. Because now I'm making me antioxidants every morning.
Oh, I've got something for you.
Yeah, that's what you get. It's not for you. It's for my pal, the prostate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, keep your fucking cat. So.
Yeah. Oh, fine. I forgot where we were. Is it still today?
Yeah. That's what you'll have.
Also,
if you have a wet dick, keep your cat.
Yeah. Also, please try this fucking weird hair thing that Tess suggested.
Yeah, let us know how that goes.
I'd love for someone to do this.
It's so witchy.
It's such a witchy thing
to
do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, who's not going to notice... So pet hair
to be like a tiny amount.
Notice any amount of hair in food.
Do you put it in like a smoothie?
Yeah, that's the only thing
I guess
you could go in.
A smoothie, a stew.
Or a pudding or a stew.
Yeah.
But I like I could feel any size of hair.
Yeah.
If it's you know when you get little hairs that's stuck to your tongue.
Yeah.
I get if it's a smoothie and it's going straight down.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you think you could feel like that much hair?
And cat's hair is wiry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I haven't tried it yet.
Maine Coons are all hair, man.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, let us know how it goes. Put some hair in his food.
Yeah. Don't give up your fucking cat.
Don't give up your cat.
Absolutely not. You've been dating for a year.
Yeah, and also like you said, don't be in a rush to move
Bullshit.
In with him.
Yeah.
Have your autonomy, you know.
I also
check his dick out. Maybe it's fucking wet.
But your wet dick doesn't tell me what to do with my fucking cat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Say that exactly and he'll be like,
absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. This probably makes me angry.
It's just like this one out of all of them.
Well, it does because it's like it's to me, honestly, and this might be a little bit dramatic, but it feels like it's a fundamental misunderstanding of responsibility and love too, because this is a pet that you've chosen to have in your life and have had for a long time. So it's like,
it comes with the package.
And also for a younger, she's the younger one, right?
Yeah,
and when
younger.
You're in your 20s and you're just sort of, I'm not saying that she's playing house, but I'm saying when you're younger, you're figuring out like what it's like to be an adult, a grown up to live.
Yeah.
And you have these ideas. Well, I love this person. Like I have to, that's what people do. They get, you get to fucking write your own story. Like you don't have to like sort of think like now I'm here. Mm-hmm. I have to do, you know, I have to sort of follow this track. Mm-hmm. No, it's,
well, and like
your
points for him too are that he's financially savvy and owns property at 29, and it's like
that's cool,
but I don't know. There's a lot of reasons a lot of people don't own property at 29.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it doesn't matter. Also, you can own your own fucking property someday.
Yeah.
You don't need to be like, oh, this is like a safe, secure situation.
Yeah. Why don't you be the person that someone's bragging about?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Oh, this chick, she's got 4 more years. She can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, you got four years to own your
own
property.
Dump the boyfriend. Go work towards getting your own property.
Take your cat on the road.
Yeah.
Buy your own fucking house at the guest house. He has a problem. He lives in the goddamn guest house.
Yeah.
And it's just got like a pond that he can shove his dick into. Yeah.
I love that Cher quote from that interview where the lady's like, she was like, my mama said I should grow up and marry a rich man. And I said, Mom, I am a rich man.
Yes. That's the damn truth.
Yeah. What
that's
is it? The I truth. Love men. Men are dessert or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I love dessert, but I don't need dessert.
Yeah.
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 No.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Mom, I am a rich man.
A rich man. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck love
yeah.
her. Mamma Mia 2, out now. Okay.
Yeah. Find the share in your heart.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Michelle.
You guys, this was a super great hangout / I feel like I did something productive.
Yes. Good. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Really great.
That's the best version of this.
Hell yeah.
Tell everybody where they can find you online and find your comedy and all that.
You can find me on Twitter at @balloon, and that's BILOON. My website's balloon.com. You can buy my album. I've got various now defunct podcasts you can listen to, and Instagram, you can see pictures of my daughter. You can stan my daughter, as people do.
I know that's so one. Adorable.
Hell yeah. And hit me up.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Thank
all right, guys.
You. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at @ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love
bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.